Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
All right, now while his brother gets wired for sound, he's going to preach a really difficult subject here today on the free will of man. And it's a difficult thing to preach because it seems to be in conflict with the sovereignty of God. We've been looking at Wednesday nights in the book of Romans. Paul teaches us that that whom he foreknew, these he's predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We learn that God saved us, called us, chose us, all before he made the foundations of the world. But then on the other hand, we read so many times, the call, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There seems to be the freedom of choice. Jesus said, all day long I've stretched out my arms. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you together like a hen gathers chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. People for 500 years have been trying to square this subject. So this is a difficult thing my brother's going to be preaching. And I'm excited to hear. I think this came about through one of our Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. That's how the Lord works with us preachers, right?
Yep.
You hear one thing and one thing, doink, and then before you know it, you got a whole sermon. And I look forward to hearing what that's going to be today. Pastor Darren.
He's right, it is a difficult subject. So before I try to preach on it, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you for your grace towards us. Father, you've been good to us. Father, ask that you would illuminate your word by your Holy Spirit to give us understanding and wisdom. That you would teach us your ways so that we could walk in them, Lord. Give us ears to hear and minds and hearts to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got everybody's attention. I want to thank everybody for your generosity at Christmas. You've blessed my wife and I greatly, and we just really appreciate it. All right. Title of the sermon is Free Will? I will certainly be in the book of Romans, as I always am. Right, Ron? We've had some discussion on Wednesday nights concerning the sovereignty of God and man's free will. And I will, first of all, start by saying there has been better men than me debate this for centuries. If you think I'm going to put the end to the debate today, it's not likely to happen. I'm going to try to shed some light in maybe some areas that hasn't had too much light shed on it here in this church. We're talking about free will and the sovereignty of God. So when I think of free will, I think of it as my ability or my permission to make choices and decisions on my own. When faced with a choice, I have the freedom to decide what I choose. God's word is full of choices. We just heard Pastor go over a few, just a few. There's no debating that. Do I believe that man has free will? Absolutely. heard me say that. What I want to show or attempt to show today is that man's free will is governed by his nature. You see, the choices that we make are determined by our nature. So we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about our nature. I promise you this will hurt. We're going to look at who we are naturally apart from Christ. We'll be turning to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read 10 through 18. It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind or the natural mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." There's more. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Ecclesiastes 7:20, "There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 58, 1 through 5. "Do you indeed speak righteous, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No, in your heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Key verse, 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You see, the choices that we make are governed and determined by our nature, by who we are naturally. Now, it hurt. Trust me, these things, I'm no different than anybody else. This is who I was apart from Christ.
That's right.
I know it. He knows it. And the natural man will never choose God or the things of God, nor can he. I may have a choice to walk to my truck. I may have a choice to crawl to my truck. I may have a choice to run to my truck, but I do not have the choice to flop my hands up and down and fly to it, because it's not my nature. I'm not a bird. I could put a perfectly cooked 20-ounce ribeye in a horse's stall, and the horse would stand there and literally starve to death before he'd eat it. Why? Because it's not his nature. He's not a carnivore. Now, what would have to happen for that horse to eat that steak? His nature would have to change. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What just happened? Your nature just got changed. You were changed from a natural man to a spiritual man. Who did that work?
God
did. And he has to. You say, why does he have to? Because if he doesn't, you will certainly reject him. The spirit has to be changed. The nature of man has to be changed for you to receive the things of God. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. Why? The Bible says it, because they're foolishness to him. It says he doesn't receive it, nor can he receive it. Doesn't have the ability. There is a work that is done by God that enables us to choose him. We'll turn to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2:11 through 15. It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. That is good news, because we were dead in it. Who did the work of making us alive? He did. Ephesians, let me look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. We'll look at that. We'll stay right on that paint. Chapter 2, 1 through 10, it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Does it get any clearer who we were before Christ, before we were Christians? Two words. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's a gift that's been given to us that allows us to make a choice for God. This gift, we didn't come by it on our own. It's a gift. It's been given. And it's a gift of faith. And you must have it to believe.
Right.
Not everyone has it. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is written with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 11. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." I'm going to say it loud and clear. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Lest any man should boast. Salvation is of the Lord. Colossians 2:13 says, "We were dead in our trespasses and he made us alive." And I often think, When we see the story of Lazarus, when Jesus is raising Lazarus from the tomb, we also oftentimes look at that as a miracle of a physical display of it, but I've also looked at it as spiritually what happens to us. The story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. I think it's a very good illustration of what happens to us spiritually at rebirth. By remembering Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead, he made alive. There's an appointed time when a call goes out. There was an appointed time when a call went out to Lazarus, and that call was, Lazarus, come forth. Romans 8:29 says, For whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. I believe in our spiritual life, at the appointed time, there's a call that comes out. And that call is, Paul Esposito, come forth. Bill, come forth. It's a spiritual rebirth. Born again. A new creation in Christ Jesus. We have to be. Why? Because we were dead. And a dead man's not going to make a choice. Not for God. The Bible is clear on it. The nature has to be changed for a choice to be made. Other than that, we're just going to keep going around the same old mountain and doing the same old thing we've always done. Because our nature has to be changed. It has to be changed. The thing that Jesus tells the people around him to do, he said, untie him, unloose him from those grave clothes. That's the church's job. That's the church's job to unloose us from all that stuff from the natural man that we've been living all our lives. We come in here and we start renewing our mind with the Word of God. But Lazarus, he was as alive as could be, but bound up in his grave clothes. He needed to be untied. And I thought, it seemed to me very interesting how Jesus didn't go up there and untie him. He told the people around him, untie him. Incorporated them in that. That's what we're doing here. We're untying us from our old grave clothes. There's a lot of people in here would say, but Pastor, I did make a choice. I know you did. I did too. There was choices that I made. I made a choice to repent. I made a choice to believe. And I did those things. But I can't take glory in them. Because if he had not enabled me, I wouldn't have made those choices. And guess what? I can stand up here and say, yeah, I did repent. I made a choice. And I repented. You know what? Repentance is a gift.
That's right.
You don't have that on your own. That's a gift. So who gets the glory for your repentance?
God
gets the glory. You say, well, I want to show you that it's a gift. Acts 11, chapter 11, verse 18. It says, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted To the Gentiles, repentance to life. 2 Timothy 2:25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. I don't think I got to explain it to anybody in here that faith is a gift. Right? We've covered that one, right? Ephesians. So, can we boast in repentance? Can we boast in faith? How about believing? Can we boast in that? Philippians 1:29. I told you this wasn't going to be easy. Your flesh ain't going to like this at all. It's the truth. It's the word of God, and it's the truth, and it's who we are apart from him. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. To you it's been granted to believe in him. It's a gift. It's a gift. Then he goes on to say, and I certainly am not going to get into that today, that suffering is a gift too. I'll say it again. Salvation is of the Lord. And that may be hard for some of us to accept. It was for me. Honestly, it was for me.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Don't deserve, still you give.